opportunity to just respond. The band are going to play certain songs which we've picked deliberately to kind of fit with the flow of what I felt I wanted to share. And there'll be an opportunity for you to just engage with that. You may want to sit, you may not want to sing, you may just want to pray, just have some time with the Lord yourself. That's absolutely fine. But I wanted to give us some opportunity really just to respond to God and to really encounter his presence. That's what I really want for us today. And I'm going to be talking and looking at the story of Jacob and actually the different ways in which Jacob encountered God. And through that, there's some things that I want to share and bring out, some questions I want to ask you that maybe you just want to engage with God over this morning. So it's going to be a little bit different. I'm really going to have to keep an eye on the time. That's going to be my biggest challenge, I think. So I hope we'll see how we go this morning. Can we have my slides on, please? I just wanted to start with a very special slide. You'll see it in a minute. Hey! I didn't know they'd be here today, so it's very lovely to have you. But that's Mr. and Mrs. Hadfield, everybody. It was a really special day on Friday, so I just wanted to show everybody that. And please go and give them a big hug and a kiss at the end. It was really lovely. Thank you. So there we go. Okay, so I'm going to start with Jacob, so I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for just the amazing, amazing things that there are in your word. And I pray as we look at the story of Jacob today and the ways in which Jacob encountered you, that we ourselves, Lord, would encounter you here with us today. Amen. Okay. So I'm starting in Jacob, Genesis 25. If you wanted to follow this, it is on the screen. Hopefully you can all read that. And here we have the story of Jacob, and I'm going to read the first half of this section here. This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Adam Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the elder will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was hairy like a garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to him. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, that's why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. So right from the outset of this story, right from the very beginning, when Jacob is first introduced, there's conflict, isn't there? There's tussling going on in the womb. And I love the fact that Rebekah, she's aware that something not quite right has happened. So what does she do? She inquires of the Lord. Straight away, she goes to God. What's going on here? What's happening? And she has this wonderful prophecy that gives her this word about these two generations that she's carrying and is going to give birth to. And it's interesting to see the two names that they're given. Esau, which meant hairy, he's given that name. And Jacob comes out and he's grasping the heel of his brother. And that's what Jacob literally means. He grasps the heel. But figuratively, it's about he deceives. That's what it means. I find it really interesting in the Bible that a lot of the names had meaning, didn't they? And often you see, like Isaac, he laughs. He was called that because Sarah laughed when she was told she had him. Find it quite interesting. You know, we have Jabez that meant pain because he was born in pain. There were probably quite a lot of Jabezes around, I should imagine. It's interesting how you see the significance of these names. But right from the start, we see God's sovereign purpose being revealed in Jacob's life. Right from the start, God has a plan and God has a purpose. And this is from Romans 9, and I've put the message in here, the message translation of this. It says, to Rebekah also, a promise was made that took priority over genetics. When she became pregnant by our one-of-a-kind ancestor Isaac and her babies were still innocent in the womb, incapable of good or bad, she received a special assurance from God. What God did in this case made it perfectly plain that his purpose is not a hit or miss thing, dependent on what we do or don't do, but a sure thing determined by his decision, flowing steadily from his initiative. God told Rebekah, the firstborn of your twins will take second place. So right at the start, God had a plan. God had a purpose and God had a plan. Do we believe that for our lives? That God has a purpose and God has a plan, and his word is sovereign over all. And you know, the sovereignty of God is a challenging issue over some of the decisions that we can face in our own lives. We're very big on choice, aren't we? Very big on choice these days. You don't have to walk down an aisle in Sainsbury's to see like 100 varieties of crisps to know that we're a nation that likes choice. And here there's a very clear word about God's people's purpose being the one that prevails. And for us, we need to submit and surrender to the sovereign purpose of God. Not for our own will, not for what we want, but to surrender to the sovereign purpose of God. So that's where I want us to start this morning. And we're going to sing a really beautiful song, I Surrender All. Hugely challenging in its words. And that's the place I want us to begin with, really. But there's just one other thing I want to mention before we move on to this point. There's a situation in this story to do with sibling kind of rivalry and favoritism. And right from the beginning, we see that one parent prefers one child and one parent prefers another. And you know, that can be a really challenging thing. And for some people, they can grow up feeling that they can be second place, they can be not good enough because they felt that they were favored. And I wanted to give some people an opportunity, if you have experienced that this morning, just as we worship, as we come before him, to maybe just deal with that before God. Because, you know, it's really right to just forgive whoever may have done that, whoever ever made us feel that we're second place. Because the danger is, if we carry that forward into our Christian lives, we can always feel that someone else is better than us. And when the time comes for something to be done, or we feel that God's challenging us, we can think, oh, no, but they'll be better than me, and we'll stand back. So those of you who've done the Freedom in Christ course will be familiar with this kind of prayer. I choose to forgive whoever it is for whatever it is, which made me feel. Sometimes it's really important to acknowledge the feelings. And we renounce the lie that we're inferior, whatever it may be, and accept the truth that we're chosen by God. He has plans and purposes for us. So after we've sung the song, if we can go back to that slide, Dave, and just leave it on the screen for a while. If for anyone here this morning that just resonates, then I want to encourage you to take the opportunity to just give that to God. Because he has a plan and purpose for your life. So we're going to sing, I Surrender All. And we want to encounter God this morning. So as we do, let's just give our lives afresh to him. If you want to stay seated, that's fine. Oh, to thee, my thank you for choosing us. Lord, we didn't choose you, you chose us. We thank you for your purposes for our lives. We thank you for the blessing that you pour out on us every day. God, as we come before you humbly, we want to submit everything we are, everything we have, every breath in our body to you. Lord, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are loving. Jesus, we thank you for what you have done for us and for the blessing we can know. We surrender to you, Jesus, today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to move on in the story, but stay where you are if you're with God. I knew this was going to be quite hard because I knew I'd just want to carry on worshiping and not talk. So we'll see how we go this morning. So what a start for Jacob, the purposes of God. And yet in this name deceiver, that got weaved into his story. And from this point where he gets the birthright from Esau, there's then this huge deception where the blessing of Isaac comes to him as he's disguised as his brother. Interestingly, Esau had already lost the right to that blessing in selling his birthright so callously, but there's still that deception weaved in with Rebekah and with Jacob as he gets his father's blessing. And because of that, I can't read all the story this morning, there's not time, but I'm sure you know it. Go back and read it if you don't. But because of that, Jacob then has to flee because of the animosity between his brother. And he finds himself in a really challenging place. And he's left alone one night and he sleeps and he has a dream. And this is where I'm going to pick the story up with this dream. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So this stairway to heaven, this tremendous dream of Jacob's, is that first encounter he has with God. And it's so real and so vivid to him. He says, surely God is in this place. So I want to ask you, has God ever spoken to you in a dream? We've been really blessed in the way that God has given us dreams. I remember even using one of the children, God spoke and gave us a dream that we as leadership prayed into. I want to encourage you to press into dreams. If that's not a way that God has spoken to you before, maybe ask him. Ask him to give you a dream. We've done a few 24/7 prayer stints here where we've been up praying through the night. And whenever I've done that, I've usually been with Maggie. And Richard Pringle would always say to me the next day, Andrea, did you make yourself available for a dream? He used to think that was a way of getting God to speak to you. I said, no, we're going to stay awake this time, Rich. But God wants to speak to us in dreams. I want to encourage you. If you have a dream, maybe write it down, pray over it, share it. Because God can speak powerfully, as we see in this story. And the other thing in this story, of course, is angels that ascend and descend on this ladder. And Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word." And Hebrews 1 tells us, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Angels are obeying God, they're performing the will of God, but they are serving us. Do you know this morning that you have the authority to command angels? Yes. I know a few people who have encounters with angels. Who's had an encounter with an angel? Put their hands up. Those who have had encounters with angels. Hallelujah. Let's pray for more of those. This scripture from John 1 is at the very start of Jesus' ministry, and he's just met Nathanael. And he says to Nathanael, "I saw you while you were under the fig tree." And Nathanael is astonished and says, "Oh, you are the Christ." And Jesus says, "What? You believe me just because of that? You'll see greater than that." And then he says this, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Nathanael would have known that story from Jacob. He'd have known about that stairway to heaven. And Jesus here is saying, "I'm the one," because he's our access, isn't he, to the Father. It's through Jesus, who is the way, that we can command angels, that we have access to God the Father through Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this morning, another thing I want to encourage you in is in commanding angels. But the thing from the story, which is lovely, is surely God was in this place and I was not aware of it. It's something that we all often remember. And when I was thinking about this passage, it reminded me of something that happened many years ago. Forgive me if I've shared this before. I may have done, I'm not sure. But quite a few years ago, the home group that I was in at the time wanted to do an Alpha course. And we were encouraged to invite people who we knew, people maybe who we worked with. I wasn't working for the church at the time. And there was someone in my office who was kind of on my heart to invite. I'd had a couple of chats with her. I didn't really know her that well. Her name was Becky. And I really wanted to invite her to this opportunity, but we worked on different floors, different departments. I didn't see her that much. So I was praying for her, and I was asking for God for an opportunity to ask her to come to this Alpha course. And one day, somebody in the office had a party, and I realized that she was also going to be there. And I thought, great, this is going to be my opportunity. I can ask her to go to Alpha. Now, for whatever reason, I was quite late getting to this party. I think I had something else on as well. And by the time I got there, she'd had quite a bit to drink. And I remember meeting her as I arrived and thinking, oh, no, great. That's that gone then. I was really cross because I wanted to talk with her. I thought, this is going to be my opportunity. I'm out of work. I can have a chat with her. And clearly, she was not in a great place. So I didn't really talk to her at all, to be honest. Spent the evening talking to other people. Thought, well, there we go. That's blown that. Right at the end of the evening, I'm going to leave, and I say my goodbyes to people, and she comes up to me, and she said, "Andrea, there's been something I've been wanting to ask you." She said, "On my way to work, I keep seeing these posters advertising the Alpha course, and I've been thinking I might do it, and I wanted to see what you thought." Surely God was in this place, and I was not aware of it. Absolutely. And you know, sometimes we can pray for people, we can pray for situations, and we can think, "God, you don't look like you're here. I don't know where you are in this. I can't see you. I'm not aware of you. I don't know what's going on." But surely God is in this place and we're not aware. Sometimes God is there and we just don't see it. We don't expect it. We're not ready for it. So we're going to sing, "Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here." And I want to encourage you, if there's a situation you're involved in and you're thinking, "I don't know where you are, Lord." If maybe like me, I'd written God out of the equation by this point, but yet he'd been at work all along and I didn't know. I want to encourage you, just as we sing this, to maybe just bring God into a situation in your life, your family, your workplace, whatever it is, and sing, "Holy Spirit, You're Welcome." Invite the Holy Spirit to come. Should we do that together? Hallelujah. Thanks, guys.
more that could ever come close. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus. Lord, you so know those situations in our lives where we just need to know that you're there. Those situations where we don't know, we can't sense you, we're not sure what's going on. Father, will you come and break through into those times? Those times so that we can say, surely God was in this place and I was not aware of it. God, thank you that you're faithful. Thank you, God, that as you promised, you would never leave Jacob. You never leave us. You promise never to leave us or forsake us. God, thank you that no situation we can face is written off. Thank you there's no situation you've washed your hands off. Thank you there's nothing that we can ask you for that's beyond your ability, that's beyond a touch of your power and your presence. God, we want to welcome you into these places. We want to welcome you into these situations, God, where we just don't know what to do, where we can't see what's going on. We say that you're welcome. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. You're welcome, Lord. You're welcome, Lord. Father, we want to ask you to forgive us that we are so unaware of you at times in our lives and in the situations that we find ourselves in, that we truly believe at times that we stand alone, that you have turned your back on us, that you have wandered off somewhere, that you have left us. And we know that that is a lie, and we ask you to forgive us. And Father, we ask you that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see what you are doing in every aspect of our lives and situations that we find ourselves in, that we would truly be able to say, surely God is in this place, that we would look for you in those situations, that we would pursue you if we need to. That much like a child seeks their parents, when they can't immediately see them, they look for them. But the parent always wants to be found. Thank you that even when sometimes we feel we can't see you immediately, thank you that you always want to be found. Thank you for your presence that changes everything. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we move on in our story of Jacob. So we have this encounter with Jacob through a dream. And then a very real encounter. Reading from Genesis 32. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he'd sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask me not my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." Hallelujah. So, how's your wrestling? I want to ask you this morning. Are you wrestling? It's quite hard wrestling. At Bridging the Gap on a Tuesday morning, we have Amelia Simpkins and AJ, Amelia Lees, and they've discovered that they like wrestling me, the two of them. And they're quite, Matt, I'm blaming you for this. They're quite strong, I have to say, these two little girls, and they love nothing more than jumping on top of me. I think because I'm the smallest person in the room, they think they can take me on. And to be fair, they do a pretty good job a lot of the time, and they love to wrestle me. They love to kind of hang around my neck with their arms, and after a while, Penny's going, "Come on now, girls, leave Andrea alone." They love it. They love to wrestle. They love to wrestle. And, you know, for us, are we wrestling God? Are we wrestling God? Are we pressing in for what God wants for us? Are we pressing and wrestling God for what we want or for what he wants? Because there's a challenge sometimes. Because I know in my own life, I can wrestle with God over what I want and try and force his hand over things that I want. And I remember before I had my back surgery, my wonderful friend Bren, many of you know, I remember her praying for me and saying, "What's all this about?" And we just prayed, you know, about what was going on with my back. And I had this picture of me trying to move this huge rock, this massive, massive rock that was beyond kind of the view of my scene that I could see. And it was the most ridiculous thing. There's a little me like this at the bottom and this enormous rock that I'm trying to push. And I knew exactly what it was. I knew exactly what situation. I was trying to push God and trying to force God. I remember thinking, gosh, have I been pushing God so much I've fractured my own spine? That was quite a scary thought. But I recognized in that situation that this was more I wanted my own way, or I wanted God to move quicker than he seemed to be moving. And you know, we can wrestle with God over stuff that we want, or like Jacob, we can wrestle God for his blessing, for what he wants for us. And the other thing that happens in this story, which is very significant, is the changing of names. Because Jacob, which meant deceiver, had been the pattern in Jacob's life. He'd deceived to get his own way. But now God was changing that. And he changed his name to Israel. He struggles with God and overcomes. And with that, we read this kind of changing name comes again a bit later on in Genesis 35. This story again is repeated. I'm just going to read this through. After Jacob returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation, a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac I will also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you." God reconfirms his identity, the purposes he has, and he speaks again those words he spoke to him when he met with him at Bethel. He reaffirms those promises he gave him. And on the windowsills, I've put some pens and paper because as we sing our next song, I want to encourage you maybe to just wrestle, not physically, but what are those promises that God has given you that you're yet to see? Maybe it's good to just remind ourselves of some of those things. So if you want to write them down, there's pens and paper that's dotted around. But I really want to encourage us, you know, as we start a new kind of academic year, what are we wrestling God for? Are we pushing in for more of him, more of his presence? Are you banging on Sally's door saying, when is your next trip? Because I want to be out of my comfort zone. She will gladly put you out of your comfort zone. I can assure you of that. But I really want to encourage us, you know, as we start a new season after a summer break, to really be pressing in, not for what we want, but for what God has for us. And maybe some of us just need to remind ourselves afresh of the promises and the words that he's spoken into our lives. So I think it'd be good to stand for this next song. And if I can encourage you all to stand, and we're going to sing Christ is Enough. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I don't know whether you noticed, if you'd like to just take a seat, these flowers. But I've been looking at them and they've been beautiful, but I realised I was looking at the back side of them. I don't know how many other of you were looking at these flowers. They were very beautiful, but they were the wrong way round. And I was looking at them thinking, I'm going to have to ask someone to help me put them round the right way. And then Chris came and he's turned them round. And I felt that what he did was, if you like, a prophetic act. Because I think that some of us in this room, we're facing the wrong way. And that Jesus is behind us, and we're looking out this way, and it's like, I can't see Jesus, and I can't actually see him. And we need to turn round, and there he is. Does that make sense? Sometimes you think, seriously? Is that all I've got to do, is just turn around? And sometimes, yeah, that's all you've got to do, is to actually reposition yourself from looking that way and turn around and looking that way. And as beautiful as those flowers were, looking at the back side, how much nicer to look at them from the front. So let's do it all together, because I know it's not for everybody here, but sometimes it's nice to all do something together so that those who for whom it really is necessary, you don't feel like I'm the only person in the room. Does that make sense? So let's all stand up, and we're all going to face this way towards that window there, okay? And in the name of Jesus, we're going to do a prophetic act, and we're going to turn ourselves around. So I want everyone to turn around, and we're going to look that way. And Father, even though that's just a simple act that we've done, from turning facing one way to facing the other, for many of us, that is a prophetic act that we're turning away and we're turning towards you. And we are repositioning ourselves so that we can wrestle with you, that we can press into you, that we can come and throw our arms around you and being embraced by you this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And as we've just sung, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Let's keep going in the right direction. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right, I'm coming to the end. We've made it. The kids... That was during the song. Sorry. I know I'm trying to get through a lot, aren't I? There was just an opportunity for people to write promises that God had spoken to them. That was all they're there for. If you can still do that at any time, but that was the reason why they were at the end. They're on the windowsill. Okay, the kids are going to come in soon, but I've got a little bit more. I hope someone's not just gone out to get them. Then I'm not quite done. Okay. There's a lot in the story of Jacob, and Jacob is a really special story to me for lots of reasons, and I wanted to finish, and Dave is going to come up and share shortly. I wanted to finish with sharing something actually to do with our 40th celebration as a church. Who was here for our 40th celebration? Hands up. Okay, about half, less than half. 4 years ago now, the church had its 40th celebration, and I wanted to share a little bit of the story behind it. Because we, as a leadership, we'd met and we'd prayed, and we really felt that we wanted to do something that would honor God. We wanted to have a service. We really wanted to thank him for his faithfulness to us over the years. And so we kind of were really of one heart of the kind of thing that we wanted to do. And shortly after that, in the middle of the night, God woke me up with one word in my head, Jacob, really clearly, Jacob. And I remember kind of sitting up in bed and thinking, Jacob, okay, who do I know that's Jacob? That was my first thought. Ben's son is Jacob. I wonder if this is about him. So, Lord, is there something wrong with Jacob? Is he ill? No, it wasn't that. Okay, so Jacob, what's this about? So I kind of knew it was the Lord, so I knew there was no point trying to go back to sleep. So I put the light on. I thought, well, the only other Jacob I know is in the Bible. So I picked up my Bible, turned to Genesis, and I started reading through the story of Jacob, as I've just done with us this morning. So I'm looking at the beginning passages, the whole tussling in the womb. I'm saying, God, do you want to speak to me? Is this it? No. Moving on. Next one, angels, stairway to heaven. Oh, this is great, Lord. This is great. Anything here? No. Okay, moving on. We're wrestling. Yep. Anything here? No. I then get to Jacob's deathbed. I'm thinking, there's not a lot left here, Lord. And I'm pretty sure you want to speak to me about Jacob. And then I read these words. Because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with the blessings of the skies above, blessings of the deep springs below, blessings of the breast and the womb, your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. And it was like one of those light bulb moments where I knew God was saying to me how important the father's blessing was. And we see blessing right the way through the story of Jacob, and he's desperate for it. And as he's dying, he gets it and prays blessing over his sons. And I knew that God was saying to me that for our 40th celebration, it was really important that the fathers of the house, the fathers, those who had stood as fathers over the years in the church, prayed a blessing over us as a body of believers. And those of you that were here will know that that's what happened, involving different men who've stood as fathers, and there are more within the church over this time. And it was really interesting because when I got to work, tired, obviously, been up half the night, I remember knowing that I had to ring Brian Pullinger, who was an elder in the church who now lives in Cornwall. And I didn't really know why, because I could have so easily talked to Dave or talked to Andrew, who was here. But I just knew I had to ring Brian and I had to tell him this story. And so I came into the office, and about 10 o'clock-ish, I phoned him up. He was painting the porch, I seem to remember. And I said, Brian, I really feel I just need to tell you this. And so I went through the whole thing. God woke me up in the middle of the night, and he's really speaking to me about how important the Father's blessing is. And then there's a kind of an interesting pause, and he starts to tell me how for several weeks before, he really felt he needed to send a blessing to his son who lives in Australia. And he'd kind of been wrestling with this, but he'd spent time over the previous few days writing a blessing on email, and that night had sent it. And so Brian had gone to bed like, oh, how's this going to be received? Because he knew that, you know, his son's kind of ahead of time in Australia. He'd gone to bed, how is this going to be received? And what's he going to think? And da, 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 da. So he goes to bed with all this in his head. And then I ring him the following morning and say, Brian, God is speaking to me about the importance of the Father's blessing. Isn't that incredible? Isn't God good? So this morning, before we are blessed by our children who are going to come in, I think Claire's hovering at the door, and just show us the song that we finished with, I've asked Dave to come and pray a blessing as a father in this house, to come and pray a blessing on all of us, but also on the fathers here. Because I feel it's really important that fathers carry a blessing to their children. So, Dave, can I invite you to come up? Is that all right? And then the children are going to come back, and we're going to end on a very joyous note as they're going to show us what they've done. Thank you.
Do come in. Do come in. All right then. Okay, I'll pray the blessing. You believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? Thank you. How many believe?
Do you want me to hold this for you, David?
Sorry. How many of you believe that because you trusted in Jesus, you are now a child of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I declare that all those who believe in Jesus are made children of God. And I proclaim in this place that God is our Father, a true Father who longs to do good to all his children. He is indeed a heavenly Father. So now in the name of Jesus, I bless the people who are here today, and I bless the people of Solihull Christian Fellowship to know their Heavenly Father, to know he loves them, to know that he knows every personal detail about them. And I bless you today, whether you're here or whether you're on Christian camps or wherever you are today, I bless you in Jesus' name to receive more of his great love for you and to understand how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit longs to lavish on you the joys of being his child. Receive that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Do you need this out of the way? Come and bless us, children.